fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat as well, and we're happy to have you chime in. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. You can also reach us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all of those locations at 105.7 FM. The Fan, lots to get into today after another busy weekend of sports, as Horvy alluded to and talked about the last hour. We'll pick it up and keep going. Now, there is some college football news, or there's going to be some news. We are trying to find out what this news will be, if this news is the news that it sounds like it will be. The players, Trevor Lawrence included, out of Clemson, they're doing everything to try to save the college football season. We will update you on the latest, and we will talk to you about that in about an hour. We'll do that around 7 o'clock this morning, because if we start it now, by 7 o'clock, it could be completely different. But if we talk at 7 o'clock, it could be different by 8 o'clock. It sounds like the Big Ten is looking at moving, at least trying to move football to the spring, but it doesn't sound like they have full support of all the Power Five conferences. So there's a situation developing in college football, which is going to be very interesting. And we will talk about that again just after 7 o'clock. There are a lot of sports to talk about. There are sports that have not been canceled. There's sports that have been moved, and now they're in action right now. The Bucks with a tough loss on Saturday night. First of all, Horvat, Bucks lose Saturday night. I don't know. You know, you probably had money on it.
I did.
Did you lose?
Not really. I had Chris Middleton over 3.5 assists, which I'll do again today because that's always a lock. In fact, I think he doubled that. And I had the Bucks minus, I bought them minus 7, so it was a scratch. No, I was very disappointed in that loss. I saw some people were actually telling me to calm down. Which was ridiculous. You know, the loss against the Nets doesn't bother me because nobody plays in the second half. The loss on Saturday night wouldn't bother me if you win that game last Sunday night against the Rockets, if that makes any sense. I don't want to pick up bad habits going into the playoffs. I know these are glorified scrimmages. I know Luka played out of his mind, and there's really nothing you could do when he's on that sort of level. But not closing games, having a 7-point lead, I just don't want to pick up bad habits going into a playoff series, even against a team like the Magic, where you turn the ball over, you don't hit your free throws. So that's what's concerning, is Giannis not hitting the free throws, missing the rim on those free throws. That game gave me bad memories. That game gave me nightmares of the Eastern Conference Finals last season, where you say, hey, it's only one game, but you got to close games, and I don't want to pick up bad habits going into the playoffs. So if they fall, if they collapse against the Raptors today, I will be a little concerned. And I don't think this is the same team that we saw the first half of the season. I'm not saying they're a bad basketball team. I still expect them to go to the finals. My money's on them to reach the finals. But again, they're not playing their best basketball right now in the bubble, and to me that's concerning, especially because people are sleeping on some of these teams. Look at what the Pacers are doing. I don't want to see the Pacers. Everybody keeps talking about the Heat. Keep me away from Indiana with Brogdon and Oladipo as your primary ball handlers, and TJ Warren is all of a sudden Kevin Durant. They don't even have Sabonis. Imagine if they were fully healthy. So I just think some teams are playing with great chemistry right now, and they look good. And the Bucks continue to collapse down the stretch, not hitting free throws. DiVincenzo, oh my God, is he bad some nights? So, yeah, I think there are some things to be concerned about.
I'm not concerned about the loss specifically. I hear what you're saying. There's a very telling stat as to why maybe they don't look like the same team, and we'll get into that around 6:30 because they're not the same team, and the proof is in the – well, the proof is in the Pennzoil, as you know. The proof is in the Pennzoil. I was going to say the proof is in the pudding, like it was 1955 and I'm a 75-year-old woman. So we'll hit the Bucks in about 25 minutes. The college football news around 7 o'clock. We'll start with the Brewers as they get back on track yesterday with a victory, which was good to see. Brewers lose to the Reds on Friday night, lose again on Saturday night, and then the offense comes alive on Sunday in a game where it's Sonny Gray versus Brandon Woodruff, and you expect a very good pitching matchup. And you got a 12-run game. Sonny Gray, of course, a long target of my affection. goes 5 1/3, gives up 4 earned runs. Again, it was part of that 6th inning where the Brewers scratched 6 runs across the plate, struck out 7. Brandon Woodruff only went 4 innings, and it was because he labored through those 4 innings, 91 pitches across the 4 innings. You could tell right away in the first inning it would probably be a short outing for him inning-wise, as it took him 20-some pitches to get out of inning number 1. But Brent Suter came in, pitched well in relief. A couple of the other guys came in, did pretty well. Alex Claudio came in at the very end and was not good, as he has not been good now for the 17 seasons he's been a Milwaukee Brewer. But the Brewers do play 6 runs in the 6th inning, a big inning for them. Good to see. They did it all without a home run in the 6th inning either, which was even better to see. 7th inning, they'd add home runs from Keston Hira and Christian Yelich, but the Brewers improve to 9-3, or get the 9-3 win and improve to 6-7. Now, I got to be honest with you. I got to look up. I think they're better off in the standings right now than the Reds, 6-7 versus 7-9. So, yes, based on winning percentage, right now the Brewers, while it doesn't seem like it in any way, shape, or form, the Brewers would be in the playoffs if the season ended today. And why that's the case, again, is because the second-place teams automatically make the playoffs. The second-place teams automatically are in the playoffs. In the NL East, you've got the Marlins at 7-3, but the Braves, with an 11-6 record, they are second place. In the NL West, you've got the Dodgers at 11-4, or the Rockies, rather, and then the Dodgers are 11-5. So 2 11-win teams in those second-place spots. The Brewers, then, are 6-7, but they would be in the playoffs based on taking second in the NL Central. Now, there are plenty of games to be played, but this is what we're looking at now. Instead of just looking at the wild card and saying, oh, well, they're 6-7, and you know they're 5 back of the Dodgers, who have 11 wins. The Padres are 9-7. How are they going to catch up? All you have to look at first, at least, if they're not in first, are they in second? And if they're in second, they're going to be in the playoffs, and then 7th and 8th overall. But that's how it's going to work this year. So it's a little different, and it's taken me some time to wrap my head around that. You go a little further down the standings, the Cardinals are 2-3. The Cubs are 10-3 in this division. They've played 13 games. The Pirates are 3-13. They've played 16 games. The Cardinals are 2-3. The Pirates have played 16 games, and the Cardinals have played 5. And the Cardinals are going to lose another series here against Pittsburgh this week because of more positive tests, it appears. You're going to have teams that have played close to 20 games. Some teams will have played 20 games by the end of the week, and the Cardinals will still have played 5. I don't know how you finish this season with the St. Louis Cardinals. What I've often thought about this season is the season will finish. Baseball will find a way to finish. But will all 30 teams finish? I have a hard time seeing how the Cardinals finish. They got to play like 55 games in 47 days. And that's a lot of doubleheaders. And then that's a lot of, you know, that's unfair to the teams that you're playing against. And remember, these doubleheaders are 7-inning doubleheaders. So now you're adjusting and changing all these teams just because of what happened with you guys. That means the Brewers still have to make up a series. The Cubs now have to make up a series. The Tigers still have to make up a series with the Cardinals. And now so do the Pittsburgh Pirates, as that game is not going to happen. I'm having a hard time, Horvy, seeing how the Cardinals finish this season.
Yeah, I have no idea how they finish this season. That's why I said these games should be forfeits. They really should, especially when it comes out that the team was at the casino. You know, like, again, you can't virus shame a team, but now what do you do? You know, if there's reports that come out that teams aren't following the protocols, I mean, there's a reason Major League Baseball, I thought, put this 185-page document together or whatever it was, 200 pages. So if you don't follow the rules, I feel like you should be punished. Because now, right, what do? The last half of the season, you're rushing to get these games in. I don't know what they're going to do. I think it's going to have to be, I think the way that you do it is winning percentage for these teams that aren't able to play 60 games. But I think they'll have to play a minimum amount of games. So I would say 50 would be a good number for the Cardinals. If they could get 50 in, I think that that's just fine. And then you just take the winning percentage. Season's already a mess. I guess that's why you expanded the postseason. So it won't bother me too much because you do get the 16 teams in. Now, if the Cardinals get in over the Brewers, or even the team like the Cubs who treated the regular season the right way, I'd be a little bit upset if they get to play 10 less games. But I think that's the only way you could do it, right? I think you have to set a minimum game. Like, what would be a minimum number for you, for the Marlins and for
honestly
the Cardinals? No, there's nobody else, right, that
60.
Would be affected? The Phillies and the Yankees?
My minimum 60.
Yeah, but they're not going to be able to do 60.
Well, then you're out.
Okay. So not, the winning percentage isn't going to matter?
I don't like that, because then at the end of the season, they could have played 45 games.
Right.
But
and go 35-10.
So then it's almost like a competitive advantage for not playing for a week and a half.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it sucks and it screws you over to have to forfeit games because you caught a virus during a pandemic. But it would also suck for a team like the Brewers or the Reds who wouldn't get in over a Cardinals team that ends up playing like 40 games because you take their winning percentage. And then look at the strength of schedule that they end up playing. Like, what if, do they make up this series with the Cubs? Now, I know it's already been scheduled to be made up, but what if there's a rain delay? You know, what if that series gets canceled due to rain or like regular baseball things? Then what? They get to make up those games against the Pirates and against the Kansas City Royals. That's why I agree. I don't think it's fair, but I think that that's going to be what happens. A minimum amount of games, probably 45.
But to have the Cardinals forfeit, also there's some degree of unfairness there, because while you can look and say, all right, well, what did the Cardinals do? Like the Marlins, they had some guys at a hotel bar. They went out for milk, and you can assume that that's where the virus was picked up and then spread. But the Cardinals could have went to a casino, got nothing, and it could have been some other guy who, you know, was with his family, and we don't know about it. And that could be how. So to
virus shame.
To virus shame. I don't want to virus shame, and I don't want to assume either. But then you also have to hold the Cardinals responsible in some way, shape, or form for not getting the virus, but for having these games called off against other teams. The Cardinals have not played since July 29th.
Yeah.
That's about 2 weeks now.
Because, okay, so they had the series with the Brewers was obviously postponed. They had a series after that. I forgot who that was against. Maybe the Royals or something like that.
Tigers.
And then this weekend against the Cubs. Wow, so that's three series right there that have just been postponed.
And now they're losing the Pirates series.
Yes.
And then, so what they're supposed to do is the Cardinals are supposed to be at home this week for three against Pittsburgh. Then on Thursday now, a makeup doubleheader in Detroit for two.
Yeah.
And then go to Chicago for the weekend set. So
yeah, that's a lot of traveling. Like, that's
right. They lost one of their off days there to hit up a doubleheader. But then the Cardinals, from what I saw, the report was, well, if we're going to be off all this time, we don't want to come back with a doubleheader. They're like putting up a sting that they have to come back with a doubleheader. You look at their schedule, there's like one off day left, maybe two, and there's already a ton of different games. They've right now have scheduled their schedule against the Brewers. They've got a series at Miller Park the weekend of the 14th in September. It's supposed to be a doubleheader Monday, single game Tuesday, doubleheader on Wednesday. So that's a five-game series in 3 days. And then the Brewers have them again in St. Louis to close the season, where the Brewers and Cardinals are supposed to play on a Thursday, a doubleheader Friday, in which one of the games the Brewers are the home team in St. Louis, and then they finish out the season Saturday and Sunday. And that, again, could be unfair to the Brewers. So the Brewers, in 6 days at the end of the season, are supposed to play the Cardinals nine times.
See, and that's what I'm saying right there. So now the Brewers get screwed over and the Cubs get screwed over. They've had no positive tests, you know, really since this whole thing began. So again, you don't want to shame a team for getting sick, but you can't punish the Brewers. You can't punish the Cubs. You can't punish the Reds because the Cardinals decided to hit up, you know, the casino and go play a little blackjack. And right, maybe they got it from a family member. But I don't know, man. When the tracing comes back and it's showing you that that's not where they caught it, that's the thing. I think the Cardinals should have to run the gauntlet, you know, sick, like 40 games in 42 days or something like that. Triple headers.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. We'll talk about that, as that's one of the big storylines. There's a lot of, well, what's going to happen with the college football season? What's going to happen with the St. Louis Cardinals season? All that the Brewers can do at this point is play the games that are in front of them, and they did that yesterday with the 9-3 victory. We'll go inside that locker room and then look ahead. They've got a three-game set, rather, with the Minnesota Twins, who just got swept by the Kansas City Royals, and that starts tonight. So no rest for the weary if you're a sports fan. It's sports overload. You've got a ton of NBA again, a ton of MLB. Hockey's in full swing. Golf, there was a great PGA Championship finish yesterday. Shout out to Colin Morikawa for his first major. So a lot going on, a lot to witness, a lot to watch, and we'll recap it all and preview ahead with you guys. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250.
Run it together if you're going to score like that. And today, I think six guys in a row got on, 7 out of 8. And it was good at bats, was deep at bats, was long at bats. I thought we really did it all day. Even against Sonny Gray, I thought we had like some long at bats that took a little bit out of them. Brock did, Logan did. I thought we had really good at bats all day today. That's one was a positive note for me, is like kind of up and down the lineup, good at bats throughout the day. So hopefully a good sign. And then a couple guys, the two big guys with some big homers late, which obviously hopefully puts them in a good spot too. But I think, you know, Christian looked great today. I thought he took some really, really good swings. I know he felt good.
8 runs on 9 hits. Now Yelich into center field. That one is way back and going to fly. Whoa, my goodness. Hits the scoreboard. Christian Yelich bangs one off the Miller Lite sign. An absolute rocket.
Not to be outdone by Keston here. He hits one even further. Up off the Miller Lite sign out there in center field. Wow.
9-2 Brewers. Yelich with a 3 RBI game.
This is just what they needed, this offense. 9 runs. All coming in the last 2 innings. Boy, that's just a beautiful swing by Yelich.
I mean, it's been a struggle for a lot of guys so far this year. Out of the gates. And it was just not – I mean, guys have been working. It's not for lack of effort. It just hasn't really gone our way so far. And it was nice to see it kind of turn a little bit today.
Craig Counsell, Fox Sports Wisconsin, and then Christian Yelich, who homers for the 4th time this season. Again, one of those being the inside-the-park home run from the other day. Not a bad night for Christian Yelich and Keston Hira and the Brewers at the plate. You heard the Christian Yelich home run in English. I think it's only fair that we hear it in Spanish as well. This courtesy of our dear friend Kevin Holden, CBS 58, and also 105.7 FM, The Fan substitute teacher.
Hey, Yelich. Al mismo lugar, dos en forma consecutiva, cuadrangular. Christian Yelich, dos en fila, 9-2.
So there's Holden.
Nice. Where'd you get that from?
Kevin Holden's Twitter account.
Oh, you pulled it off the Twitter. Okay.
Telemundo, Wisconsin. So they broadcast.
I think that was their first game that they broadcasted this year, right?
Yeah, and they can't go to the park anymore, so they had to watch it on TV from the CBS 58 studios. So CBS 58, they have WMLW, and they have Telemundo, Wisconsin. And the thing I always love, and Holden does it too, is you hear it in Spanish, but then when you say the name, it sounds like normal Kevin Holden.
Hey, Yelich. Al mismo lugar, dos en forma consecutiva, cuadrangular. Christian Yelich, dos en fila, 9-2.
So not bad.
No.
Again, that was my New Year's resolution, was to learn Spanish. It was also my quarantine goal, was to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
I know that Apple is manzana.
You know, because I want to do play-by-play. You know what I've been doing to work on my craft? Is I've been watching these games because I got the 4 TVs working, so I'll put one on mute and I'll just call a game during the NBA playoffs. I want to get back into it. What I should have did in college was learn a couple different languages. I was dating a girl at the time, and she's a news anchor, and she is Latina, but she didn't know how to speak Spanish, And I actually spoke better Spanish than she did, which was crazy.
Hmm.
And so she was learning in college because she was like, man, I really want to get a job right out of the chute. If I'm bilingual, I got a better chance. And then she gave up after like 2 weeks, and I was like learning the words and learning some phrases and whatnot. But then
well, it's
I
hard
to
learn
too.
Another language.
I should have, though. I could have. Maybe then I could have jumped on to Telemundo.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life.
That's true. Although I'm just like, if I have to find a new career, I'm leaving radio. I'm going to like law school or something. I'm still pretty young.
Yeah. Kind of. What am I? What can I do? I'm mid 30s.
I don't really know actually what I'll do, what I would do if I had to give up radio. I'd probably just go back small market. I liked the small market because I like calling games. I really miss calling games. I would kill to be a play by play announcer. It's just so tough to get into that industry unless you went to Syracuse or Fordham, unfortunately.
Don't forget Northwestern. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250 is the Brewers do top the Reds on Sunday afternoon, and it was good to see. And, it, you know, a little nervous to begin with when Jesse Winker is getting to Brennan Woodruff. You think, all right, I don't know how this game's going to go, and the Brewers just dropped two to the Red Legs, as BA was calling them throughout the weekend. But the Brewers do pick up the victory there on Sunday. So 9-3 the score, and the Brewers do improve to 6-7. They've got the Twins now for a three-game series here at Miller Park. We'll get a Twins preview coming up around 9:30 here this morning. 414-799-1250. Ram calls us from the north side. You want to talk Brewers or you want to talk not Brewers?
Not Brewers.
All right,
Brewers,
well, go ahead.
I'm glad the Brewers are turning it around.
Yeah, they're 6-7. Yelich is still batting 150.
They're getting there.
All right. Well, what's up?
This Bucks game. One of my biggest concerns is you got a guy making $38 million a year. Why was George Hill taking that last shot?
George Hill is like one of he's like statistically the best three-point percenter shooter in the.
Take that shot.
Ram, I'm not in the mood to bang on Middleton today.
And I'll say this. The turnovers, man. The ball handling and the turnovers, they got to clean that up, man. I mean, the Mavericks scored 19 points off a 13 turnover that the Bucks had. And our backcourt, like I keep telling our fan base and everybody, we just don't have the backcourt.
You know, I don't even care about that loss. There's not so one
no
part of me that
going
cares.
Forward?
Huh?
No, there's no concern going forward.
I'd say I have concerns, but I'm not. I don't look at it like if George Hill hits that shot.
If.
Well, if George Hill hits that shot, I don't feel any different about Saturday night than I do today. The game meant nothing. It was a nice little tune-up. It was a practice.
Okay, but now we got to beat a team four times.
Yeah, well, I think we'll do that with the Magic.
My concern is 67% from the free throw line. The Mavericks shot 92%.
Giannis missed like seven free throws.
Yeah, okay, airballing the free throws.
Hey, we can't go at Middleton, though. Middleton in that game, 21 points, 11 boards, 6 assists, and he only missed, what did he miss, one shot? No, he went 8 of 12 from the floor, only missed one three-pointer. So I'm with you. He should be taking that shot.
He should be taking that shot. That's my point.
George Hill was wide open, though, and he leads the NBA in three-point percentage.
Okay, but I'm saying Middleton had the ball. He passing the ball. He can't separate and pull up a shot. That's my concern.
Middleton did that in spades the other night.
Or check this out. He could have went to the rack and got fouled.
I'm more concerned on who's going to be that fourth guy. Like, and Bledsoe was all right, man. He had 15 points.
Did you not watch Bucks Heat the other day when Middleton did everything you've ever wanted him to do?
Yeah, but you're making it seem like these games don't count, and you got to beat a team four times while playing in the bubble. I like the season been going on. We talking about, you know, these eight tune-up games. I think they all count.
I think Middleton's been great. I think Giannis needs to hit his free throws, but he's the best player in the league. I think Brooke Lopez has been tremendous, and I think Bledsoe's going to be just fine. I think you need more from the off guard. I like what Wesley Matthews does, but he's not a starter at this stage of his career.
But Dante
needs to take care of the ball.
All our guards by himself.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. I think you need a better – not a better
Dante
two,
only had 1 point, man. Come on, man.
Dante needs to be better. Yeah, he had 1 point in that game. I mean, you're not wrong on that. And minus five on the floor.
So if they beat the Mavs Saturday, are you, like, feeling better or not?
No, I'm just saying, do you think Carlisle outcoached Budenholzer? I say yes.
I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters?
Mm-mm.
What if they lose today? And everybody,
well, I don't care. I don't care.
Champion today.
I don't care. No, we don't. We don't play like anything.
The Raptors are the NBA champions.
I don't care how they play today.
Man, see,
I don't care if they lose by 35 today.
See, do you feel like that if you're a Laker or a Clippers fan, though, and then you're out west and you see what the Blazers?
Okay, my last question. So, just say if the Bucks hit Indiana in the second round.
I don't want to see Indiana.
They look scary, yes. Ryan.
I know.
Clippers lost to the Nets last night. Do they care? No.
Oh, Paul George didn't play.
Well, I mean, we're not going to play those. We're not going to even play the Nets, I doubt. The Nets are going to be gone. Well,
we're not going to play the Mavs, so I don't care if Rich Carlisle's coaching Bud. I don't care.
I don't know. I don't know about the West. I don't know about the West. I mean, it's kind of like tipsy turvy in the West. I mean, Denver's playing very well too. I mean, it could be a first round upset in the West. That's highly possible.
All right, highly possible, I would say.
But yeah, I think all these games count. I don't look at it like, oh, they don't count. I never look at it. I'm a hooper. I don't look at it like that.
No, I know.
When you lace them up, hoop. If you don't want to play, just get a DNP. Don't make excuses.
I'm going to talk more about this because now you got me all fired up, okay?
All right, Bart.
Ram, 414-799-1250. Oh, Ram couldn't wait to get that in today. We're just, you know, talking Brewers, and here's Kevin Holden.
Middleton's been awesome.
Viva Espanol, and now I have to defend.
Middleton's been the best player on the floor.
The Bucks. I'm going to elaborate more into why Saturday meant nothing to me. And also, you said that they look like a different team. They do look like a different team, and I have the stat to prove why they look like a different team. And I'll have that for you coming up next. And when we say that, it's in not a good way. So that there are things I'm concerned about. Yes, I'm watching these games with you. Am I concerned that they lost a game to the Dallas Mavericks? I am not. Am I concerned about the level of play? Perhaps a little bit, and this stat I have will be very telling as to why. 414-799-1250. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Hey, good morning from the 105.7 FM, The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath, first on The Fan. Christian Yelich homered. He tripled. Drew a bases-loaded walk, and the Brewers beat the Reds 9-3 on Sunday to avoid their first 0-5 home start since 1970, the franchise's inaugural season in Milwaukee. Brent Suter picked up the win, pitching two innings of scoreless balls. Sonny Gray was handed his first loss of the season for the Reds. They fall to 7-9. The Brewers now 6-7. They stay home to begin a three-game series against Minnesota tonight. Probable starter Adrian Hauser, who's allowed just one earned run over 12 innings through his first two starts. First pitch tonight, 7-10. The two best records in the East meet up for the last time in the regular season inside the bubble. The Bucks at 55-15 have clinched the number one seed in the East for the second season in a row, despite a 136-132 overtime loss to the Mavs on Saturday. The Raptors at 50-19 lost Friday for the first time since the season restart. 122-100 to the Celtics, but did rebound yesterday with a 108-99 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies to clinch the number two seed in the conference. Tip-off today is scheduled for 5:30. Commissioners of the Power Five conferences held an emergency meeting on Sunday as there's growing concern among college athletic officials that the upcoming football season and other fall sports will not be played because of the coronavirus pandemic. No major decisions were made on Sunday night, but multiple sources in several Power Five conferences have told ESPN the commissioners are talking about trying to collaborate if their respective presidents do decide to cancel or postpone fall sports altogether. Read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 1057 FM The Fan. Talking Bucks basketball and recapping a busy weekend for the Brewers, all coming up on the Bart Winkler Morning Show.
Now, a Green and Gold training camp update. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
Week two is underway here at training camp. Over the weekend, linebacker Preston Smith said players were put through a rigorous workout in the weight room and the practice field.
We had a tough workout today, so my energy's a little down. I always want to get better at something. I always got a lot of stuff to improve on. Even the things I did good last year, I want to improve on those and be better.
I asked Matt LaFleur if he moved the first practice until this coming Saturday so the players had enough time to get into good physical physical condition.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, they're doing a lot of different activities, from conditioning to, you know, implementing some of the change of direction drills, some of those combine type drills.
And Devontae Adams was asked, what effect will it have on Aaron Rodgers with first round pick Jordan Love in camp at quarterback?
I don't think that it'll have any type of effect on him. Aaron's a lot like me. I'm a lot like him, however you want to put it. Truly confident players who know what they're capable of. And I don't care if they brought in Julio Jones in here. That's not going to necessarily make me work harder, because I'm already a workhorse and I already know that I'm trying to be better than what I was last year.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Come up with a couple of rebounds we didn't come up with. We fouled them late. A couple different times we fouled them, so. You know, to me, it felt like the defensive execution could be better, particularly just finishing the possession. We got hurt on a couple offensive rebounds.
Coach Mike Budenholzer, after the Bucks 136-132 loss to the Dallas Mavericks, this game on Sunday night, national TV, goes to overtime. George Hill with the opportunity to make the bucket to give the Bucks the win. He does not, and the Bucks fall. And they are struggling in the bubble, I think. They have lost 7 of their last 10, actually, if you want to go all the way back to the regular season. And you watch this Bucks team. They had 8 games. They're going to have a playoff series now with the Orlando Magic that is set. In the East, we know that the Raptors will play the Nets and the Bucks will play the Magic. So you get the number one seed, no home court advantage, and then you actually play in the city of the team you have to play against. Now, I wouldn't say the Magic have home court advantage. And technically the Bucks still have home court advantage, because if they play a 7-game series, 4 of the games will have the Bucks virtual fans in the arena. So technically, and like the Bucks buttons. And when Giannis airballs a bunch of free throws, you won't hear airball. Because it will be a Bucks home game. So there is a very small silver of a lining there that the Bucks do still have home court advantage in this one. Bucks lose to the Mavs 136-132. I've got a stat that I am worried about. I'll have that in just a second. This game, on the other hand, I'm not entirely worried about. Skyler's on the north side, 414-799-1250. What's up, Sky?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
How are you?
I just want to say this. Now, I'm gonna keep it real quick and calm. Ram, he's just picking with Middleton now, man. After that shot, when I saw that last second play, I was like, man, that was a good play. I mean, he was wide open. I mean, I thought that was like a genius move by Chris Middleton, because George Hill was wide open. George Hill is a ball player too. He get paid to make shots. Just because I make $38 million, it don't make me to go up there and shoot an ill-advised shot when the guy that's the best three-point shooter in the league is wide open. So I just think now it's getting to the point where Ram just don't like Middleton, and he's trying to find every little reason to pick with him. But Ram, you got to keep it real with yourself, man. You know, you don't like him, that's fine. But, man, at the end of the day, you're going to have to come to the fact that, you know, you got to keep it real with yourself, man. That was the right play that Middleton made. And if he was able to do it all over again, he should make the same play. So, I mean, like y'all saying up there, Middleton is playing good. So I think Middleton doing a great job this year. I haven't said nothing bad about him. And I hope he continue to keep doing what he's doing and we can get to the finals. But that was the absolutely right play that he made. So that's all I got to say.
Skyler, good call. Thanks for the call, Ram. Skyler wants you to look with inside yourself and find the true reason why you don't like Middleton. So after the Bucks loss, it's not the Bucks that need to look inside. It's our beloved caller, Ram. Now, George Hill's a 46% three-point shooter. I've got no problem with that play. George hit that. He was wide open. He missed the shot. Make or miss league. He missed the shot. And again, this game didn't mean anything to me. In fact, I enjoyed it on Saturday night as I would enjoy any game on a Saturday night. I had a little FanDuel going. I had a couple of bevies. And I watched a basketball game. and they went to overtime, all right, more chance to watch. And, you know, then Luka's bouncing balls behind his legs, through his legs, and they lost. And I thought, darn. And it was Saturday night. I had a long day. I went to bed. And that was it. That was the game. Are you worried that they... I don't see in these eight games, since they have clinched, and I want the Bucks to win all these games. And you can look at the stats and say they've lost 7 of 10. Because they have. But with these particular games, they are getting back into this restart. They're going to have a series against the Magic, which I don't know. You know, maybe I think they sweep them back in April. Maybe it goes 5. Maybe they screw up and it goes 6. But they're not going to lose this series. We all know that. And then the second round is when things are going to start for them. So they've got until... they've got 3 weeks to put this together and figure it out. And I feel okay about that. Do you want to beat the Mavs on a Saturday night in primetime? Absolutely. And if George Hill makes that shot, they do. But it doesn't, to me, change what these games are. These games are learning experiences for me. And that's the way I'm looking at it. I like that we beat the Celtics the first night because I hate losing to Boston. And then we lost to the Rockets, and that's a bummer. But that was some close game experience. There's a stat called clutch minutes. The Bucks barely had any all season long. And now they're getting a bunch of them. And they got a bunch of them with their bench against Brooklyn. I think that'll help. They were down big against Miami, and they found a way to rally back and then win that game by 14. That's going to help. They lost to Dallas. That's going to help. All of these games, I feel, are going to help. Now, when you say they don't look like the same team and something might be missing, Riley Feldman, I see, tweets a really good statistical look at where the struggle is. The Bucks bench in the bubble, they are not making their shots. They are struggling, especially from three. Dante DiVincenzo is how you say it. 22% from three is what Dante's hitting. His rookie season, which was bad at times, he hit 25%, so it's even worse than that. So in the bubble, Dante's hitting 22% of the threes. Hill's hitting 25. Marvin's hitting 22. Korver's hitting 35. The real respectable one is Pat Connaughton at 41%. If you're going to be a three-point shooting team, look, this is why I have this job, because I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be a three-point shooting team, you have to make your three-point shots. Look at that. Look at that brilliance that I'm exuding today. The Bucks aren't making their three-point shots, especially on the bench. So I think if you're looking at a reason, why does this team not look as dominant where they were? That might be the reason, the three-point shooting off the bench.
Yeah, and when guys aren't hitting their shots, there's really no reason for some of those guys to be out on the floor other than just to eat up minutes. Like right now, Dante wouldn't be on the floor. Like if this is last season, I mean, he was a rookie last year. When he's struggling like this, there's really nobody else to go to is the problem because you're not going to give Sterling more minutes. Same thing with Kyle Korver. You know, he just really can't create his own shot. So when he's spotting up and he's knocking down jumpers, awesome. But who's he going to guard when he's not knocking down jumpers? Then you look at some of these other teams. You know, I brought up Indiana, and you look at their bench. Or you look at the Raptors, and you look at their bench. Right now, they got guys that could create shots. Guys that are quicker, guys that are more athletic. So I guess that's just my main concern right now is I just think that you do need more production from the shooting guard position. I like Wes Matthews, but I would prefer Wes Matthews as a veteran off the bench collecting 14 to 15 minutes per night. And then if you need guys, because guys get in foul trouble come playoff time. Right now, you know, I loved Dante the first half of the season especially. I thought that he was going to make that leap year two and we were going to be able to count on him in the playoffs. Man, right now I'm just really, I hate to say it, I'm missing a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, where you could create your own shot, he can knock down threes. That may be the missing piece. I still think the Bucks are going to the finals. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, start freaking out over a regular season loss, like you said. But right now, the bench is kind of old and slow. A lot of vets, but I just wish that they had some guys that could create their own shot. I half jokingly said that I would take Carmelo Anthony on this team over Marvin Williams. I think that I would. I really do.
Lion BK King says that Mavs loss means nothing. Look at the minutes for the starters. The Mavs had four of them with 37-plus minutes. Middleton maxed the Bucks with 36. There was some load management within this game. Porzingis played 40 minutes. Luka Doncic played 42 minutes for the Bucks. Giannis played 33. Granted, he fouled out again.
It's like, look at these other teams' benches. Like, guys like Cameron Payne are stepping up. You know what I mean, though? And, like, you're relying on Ersan Ilyasova and Sterling Brown and DJ Wilson and Kyle Korver. And I love George Hill. But, like, who do you trust off that bench? Like, yeah. to play against, like, let's say.
Well,
like,
I was trusting Dante, and he's been struggling in the bubble.
Yeah.
I was confident about Pat Connaughton, who is still getting his legs under
you
him.
You know what? He's been the best player off the bench. He just beat COVID. He's been the best player off the bench. Pat looks good.
Kyle Korver, I thought, would be an asset. He barely played Saturday.
I heard the Big Show say something like Kyle Korver needs to be Kyle Korver from Atlanta. Well, like, you'd have to get in a time machine, guys, unfortunately, and go back to like a decade ago. And that's not going to happen. Okay,
he needs to be one of the best 13 players in the East. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if Kyle Korver was an all-star. Unfortunately, like, he at this point of his career is like the 12th, 13th man off the bench, guys. Like, come on now. I don't know.
The bench, and we brought this up after the game against the Heat, even though they won.
He's no good.
The bench is something that is concerning me more than it was in the regular season, because a lot of these other teams' benches have looked very, very good, and you're seeing stars emerge in this bubble that maybe you weren't too familiar with. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. is becoming a name around the NBA. He's coming off the bench in Portland.
Austin Rivers had 40 last night.
Austin Rivers. Do the Bucks have a guy like Gary Trent Jr. or Austin Rivers off the bench?
No.
You know, right now they don't. And that could be something that hurts them.
Like,
so I look at it bigger picture. Maybe I'm just splitting hairs here, but the fact that they lost to the Mavs or the fact that they beat the Mavs, that doesn't change my opinion either way.
Right, it's a scrimmage at this point.
I feel they're a very good team, but what I have began to worry about over this bubble period is the bench is not as maybe deep and good as I thought they might have been. Cameron's on the north side, 799-1250. What's up, Cam?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I agree with some of the points you're saying, but if you really look at it, before the bubble hit, they lost, I think, 3 out of 4. So, you know, it's just of them getting comfortable and having winning basketball. And the concern is, you hit it on a great point, the concern is they got to get young, man. They got to get young. Because if they don't get young and they keep this team for next year, they're not going to win. So they have to get young, and Bledsoe has to step up. And I appreciate y'all call.
Yeah, Cameron, appreciate you. 414-799-1250. And again, I talk a lot about the bench here, but when you look at what's happening, they are playing way more minutes than they're going to in the playoffs. Now, the Orlando series may be aside, but Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe, these guys are going to play more than 31, 32 minutes come the playoffs. So we're looking at these game results where Marvin Williams is getting 21 minutes and Connaughton's getting 24 minutes. These guys, they're going to get 10, 12, maybe 15 minutes, and you're going to get 8 more minutes out of your starters. You understand the difference between 36 minutes of Middleton and 42? That's big. That's half a quarter. Yeah. So I'm not worried in that regard. I'm worried that the bench isn't as effective as I thought they were going to be. But as in terms of the loss and what I saw last night, we're not going to comb through all the reasons where the Bucks lost this game. I'm just going to say, they played well and they lost. George Hill could have made a shot and won, and then Mavs took it to him in overtime, and Luka had something to prove, and he was pretty good. I'm telling you, as a fan, that's where I'm looking at this. Yeah. Now, if I'm on NBA TV, you know, maybe I'm filling time more by breaking things down a little more. Like, well, they need to do this. As a fan, I am not freaking out quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern is the backcourt, and Shaq and Barkley and those guys on inside the NBA and Ernie Johnson, they were talking about that as well, especially in this bubble right now. It's a guards league. Now, you need a wing. I'll always say that. As good as Damian Lillard is, come playoff time, you could put a wing on him. You're not going to shut a ball-dominant guard like Damian Lillard down, but you do need a wing. It's a wings league. I think you need a Kawhi Leonard. You could have a Giannis as the best player on your team. You could have a LeBron James, but you need a big, strong wing that could get you those grown man buckets in the final 5 minutes. But you need a solid backcourt, and I think that's what we're learning about the bubble. Like, look at the teams that are winning right now. Indiana looks really good, and Oladipo's been on load management, but when he plays full minutes with Brogdon, they look really good, and they got a wing in TJ Warren. But if you look at what Portland's done in this bubble, Damian's been on another level. I mean, he had a 50-burger last night again. The other night he hit like 13 threes, something ridiculous like that. But CJ's been really good for him too. So that's the only thing that does concern me is I think that Bledsoe's going to have to be huge in the playoffs. And he's looked all right, especially defensively. I think Bledsoe will be okay. But who's going to step up at that off-guard position? Because Dante's going to have to hit some shots. He's going to have to take care of the basketball. And he's going to have to defend the other team's best guard. Well, Bledsoe will take care of that, luckily. But I do worry a little bit about that. And then, like, Kyle Korver, this is why I didn't really want to bring in Kyle Korver, like, in a main role. I like Kyle Korver for what he was in Utah last year. You know, a vet in the locker room. Like, he was really good with the younger guys. Donovan Mitchell, like, raved about Kyle Korver. That's what he is at this point. Same thing with Robin Lopez. Like, Robin Lopez, there's going to be certain series where you're not even going to be able to put him on the floor. And I love Robin Lopez and love that pickup. But he's not going to be able to play against teams that plays small ball.
He didn't play Saturday.
Right. Like a team against the like against the Mavs. Like, that's matchup hell with the pick and pop with Porzingis. You're going to see, and how many minutes is Brook going to be able to play come playoff time? So are you going to go small? Are you going to rely on Ersan? Oh, man, that just gives me nightmares right there. Ersan playing more than 15 minutes.
Every night I forget he's on the team.
Against Toronto.
And then I see him.
Who's going to take those minutes, though? DJ? You know? That's the only problem right now is just the depth of this team scares me. Not to get out of the East, but if you do get to the finals and you take on a team like the Clippers, like, look what they do. They have 11 guys that could score. You look at the Lakers. I'm down on the Lakers right now. Anthony Davis is.
The Lakers are down on the Lakers.
Anthony Davis hung 40 on Gobert the other night, but he's out of shape. He looks like he put on like 15 to 20 pounds going into this bubble. Something's up with LeBron. The teams that are getting hot in this bubble are the teams with dominant backcourts. Portland, although they did lose the other night, that was depressing. I didn't want to see them beat the Clippers because I hate the Clippers. But look at the Clippers even, you know. Lou Williams, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. They got a bunch of dudes that could create their own shot.
KJ, aloha, 799-1250, aloha, aloha.
Aloha, my brother. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, listen, man. What was the Bucks' strength during the regular season is now one of their biggest weaknesses, and that's the bench, man. Their bench, I mean, if you look at who they have coming off that bench, man, I mean, it was DiVincenzo. He was supposed to be the guy that could come off the bench and give him a spark, get some buckets. He's not playing well. I mean, you're going to put Ilyasova in there? You're going to put Korver? Korver cannot guard anybody. I mean, so you can't put him in. If he's not hitting his threes, he's worthless on the floor. So, I mean, the rotations right now are still not in place. That's what concerns me, of what they're going to do in certain situations. And it was obvious to me that Coach Bud wanted to win that game against Dallas because he left all his starters in, including Giannis, who got kicked in the junk. After he got kicked in the junk, I said, okay, that's enough. I'm done seeing Giannis tonight. You know what I mean? He already had 5 fouls. There was no reason to keep him in unless you really, really wanted to win that game. And, I don't like the defense that they're playing. It's not even close to what they were playing during the regular season. Their rotations off the bench are just not good at all. I mean, am I concerned? Yes, I am a little bit of concern. Do I care that they lost to Dallas? Nah. And are they going to beat Orlando? Sure, they're going to beat Orlando. But when they get in the second round, I mean, the idea of thinking that they're just going to turn this off and on, turn the switch off and on from game to game, from series to series, I mean, it doesn't happen that way.
So what do you guys want to see? What do you get? They play the Raptors tonight at 5:30. Do you want to see the starters? Do you want to see them go all out and try to win? Do you want to see the bench?
You got to beat the Raptors.
The bench. I want to get those guys in a rhythm.
So KJ wants the bench. Horvat, you want to see the starters?
I do. Yeah. I don't want, because I want to beat the Raptors. I want to go into the playoffs with some confidence. I want to see this team close
a
game.
Because you're betting on it. Ryan.
No, I'm not betting on this crap tonight. I'm done with betting on the Bucks until they close a game and hit. Until they hit their free throws down the stretch. If you're the MVP of the league, you can't miss seven.
Yeah,
free throws
so that concerns me. If we're gonna talk about concerns,
you can't airball free throws. Unless
Giannis
you're
airballing multiple free throws is a concern. KJ, aloha. Talk more about the Bucks. 414-799-1250. The big story last night is it seems like the Big Ten is going to say no to fall football. The ripple effects on that would be massive. But the players are banding together for a last-ditch effort to save the season. Your thoughts on that? 799-1250. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat on the Fan.